Ice cold beer!
Popcorn, peanuts, Cracker Jack.
I know what the big deal about Cracker Jack is. Did you ever go and buy a pack of Cracker Jack thinking you'd get a prize and find no prize in the box?
Today, I consider myself the luckiest man on the face of the earth.
To the ball game, take me out to the crowd, buy me some peanuts and Cracker Jacks. I don't care if I ever get back, we'll root for the home team. If they don't win, it's a shame. 1, 2, 3 strikes you out at the old ball game.
All right. Welcome back to the Bench Jockeys here on 101.5 UMFM. I'm Michael Elves, joined from a safe distance by my pal Brian Svensson.
What's up?
And on the bullpen phone, Chris Zook.
Howdy, howdy, howdy.
Our connection, the string that stretches all the way to the bullpen is a little fuzzy there, but We'll get to it. We're going to start things off by tipping our caps.
A little bit better now. We'll get somewhere there.
We're going to tip our caps to a whole bunch of deserved players as the Silver Slugger winners were announced. And I mean, do you guys want to like highlight anyone in particular, or should we just kind of work through the list? Or
I mean, obviously, I want to talk about my boy Teoscar Hernandez. What's up? Very exciting. Very exciting. Very exciting.
I will say this. Nelson Cruz for the Twins and the DH. That's pretty impressive.
Yeah, I mean, this is what – did he not win it last year as well, I think?
I think so, yeah.
Yeah, so 2 years in a row that the Twins DH takes it. Certainly a positive thing for me, and certainly a positive thing for guys in their middle age, you know.
Yeah.
The big winners though, Atlanta and Chicago White Sox, 4 Atlanta players and, 3 Chicago, batters, taking home the hardware.
Yeah. Super cool for the White Sox. I mean, they've got a really young, exciting, flamboyant, awesome team to watch. It's a shame Tony La Russa is going to kill
okay,
it.
Okay, so we're going to pivot that hard that quick. Sure. Okay, because this is one piece of news, because we had so much to talk about with the World Series and with the Justin Turner news right after it that we didn't get to this last week. This had happened, I guess, on the Thursday.
Hold on one second. Like, I can't believe, Brian, you're not talking about your boy Trout as well.
Oh, come on. He's
the
best player in the game. He deserves to win all the awards, man.
Oh.
If I could give him the Cy Young award, I would too, because he's just that good.
Wow. And he'll never make the playoffs again.
Well, that's not his fault. He's great. His team is just snake-bitten and also terrible.
I would say, wouldn't great players elevate a team? But, you know, we won't go down that road today.
He can only do so much. When the man is winning 10 games every single year just on his own, I don't think it's possible for him to elevate his team anymore.
Well, they don't make the playoffs, so that doesn't.
And it's not his fault. There are a gazillion other guys on that team.
He needs 15, I guess, next time. Let's talk about
that's a front office problem if they have a gazillion guys and they're not able to do it, you know.
Oh, yeah. No, it's absolutely a front office problem. It's not a Mike Trout problem. Mike Trout is very good at what he does.
Yeah, so we do
want to – It's just too bad we won't see him in the postseason.
Zook, when do I get to throw water at you, by the way?
I have no idea. When COVID's over.
2022.
We'll do a double up or something like that anyways, exactly.
No. I'm not taking any other bets. I absolutely want to throw a glass of water at you.
Oh, sure. Well, you can do that tomorrow if you want. I don't care.
Yes. So Tony La Russa announced as the new skipper for the Chicago White Sox.
This That's got to be the last best, Thursday. The best hire so far. That's so got to be the best hire.
Dumb. I just don't understand the stupidity of it. You
so
have
you're
this
best
young,
worst hire?
You have this young, fun, awesome team that plays with so much flair, and what you're going to do is you're going to saddle them with a guy who literally hates the way that they play baseball. That makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, so for folks who don't know, Tony La Russa went out with a Cardinals World Series, retired, has been out of the game long enough that he was inducted into the Hall of Fame, and is now taking a job. So I don't know. I mean, I guess maybe he has some incriminating pictures of Jerry Reinsdorf, or like
Reinsdorf straight up said that he just felt bad about firing him in the '80s.
Right. Yeah. He did.
This is definitely the old boys network again.
Yeah. And what's crazy is it's an old boys network hire for a very young team, right? Like this is a team like this year they did well and people were kind of expecting it to be 2021, 2022, that's kind of when these guys would mature into being like a real contender. And so what do is you give them like the ghost of Christmas past.
Well, especially because it's not even been that long. I mean, he comes out and does a press conference where he's like, yeah, you know, like I've changed and I've grown and stuff like that. But it was like earlier in the year where he was, you know, just attempting to dunk on Fernando Tatis. Yeah.
We talked about the night that Tatis, you know, swung on a 3-1 pitch and took it yard and got in trouble from both his manager, the manager of the opposing team, and then from a bunch of the old guard in baseball,
including Tony La Russa.
Tony La Russa.
So stupid. Like, you want to talk about – it's been proven over and over again that managers who do not jive with their team philosophically, like the players in the clubhouse, alienate the players enough and can actually subtract wins from the total. And, like, I just can't – I don't see a path in which La Russa – I don't see a path in which Tony La Russa functions in a happy environment with what's going on in that dressing room. I just don't. Do you?
No. I mean, we're talking about a guy like, first of all, in terms of like rule change.
Why can't it work? How like, about this? I'm going to be the devil's advocate.
Okay, so
why
I'll point out a few different things about why it won't work. One of the things, this is a guy who pioneered the like, you know, bringing in a different reliever for every batter and stretching out games and working it that way. Well, the rules have changed. You can't bring in a guy to face one guy now, right? There's the three batter rule.
Yep.
So right away, one of his like the tools in his toolbox, you can't use that tool anymore. The league doesn't use it. Second of all, in terms of like the rise of the quants and a lot of the numbers guys, like this guy, it's been 10 years since he managed. And the, like, when you think about like night and day changes in terms of like the shifts and things like that, that have come into the league. And this is a guy who's like railed against a lot of like the newfangled changes in the league. I mean, yes, he's been in some front offices during that time, but it's been as like an advisor. It hasn't been as like some sort of like stat guy. And then you've got a guy who was a big ardent Tea Party guy. And one of the things of the Tea Party is like closing the borders. And what's his team made up of? A bunch of immigrants and black people. Like
that's toxic, Mike's right.
Like the guy is like, of course he succeeded in St. Louis 10 years ago. Cause that's what baseball the right way.
Well, I'm just saying, okay. So
you can read enough. You can read enough stuff to that. Like that St. Louis team kind of won in spite of him, not because of him.
Yeah. I mean, they had Albert Pujols when he was Albert Pujols.
All right. Hold on a second here. We're doing a little bit of revisionist history here. I mean, we can pile on because he's old and stuff, but the guy did is a winner. He has, like, I think the second most win total of a manager. He's won 3 World Series. It's not like they're getting, you know, I mean, they're going to get, you know, someone just off the street. This guy does have a history. Now, it is insane that, you know, they're pulling him off the street like 10 years later. I mean, it's probably going to be like Michael Jordan coming back from the Wizards. It's going to end very spectacularly wrong. But I think it's going to be great because it's just going to be such a train wreck that we're all going to be paying attention to the White Sox for the first time in a while.
The thing is, I admit, as a Twins fan,
this is a great hire because it means that the team that was on the ascendancy,
right?
Because
it's going to devalue the White Sox.
That White Sox team is so much fun to watch, though.
And Cleveland is setting fire to themselves right now too. So it's great.
It's unlikely. It's unlikely to work. What if it works? I'll be incredibly shocked and surprised, and I'll eat crow. I'll eat crow on this show. I've done it before, but I just can't. I can't see a world in which it actually works, and I just can't see a pathway for it to work, and it's going to kill what is an incredibly fun baseball team full of really showboaty, flashy, exciting young players. I love seeing Tim Anderson hit a home run and toss the bat, or, you know, steal second with the pitcher knowing he's going to steal second and just start to chirp him. I love watching Lou Bob. I love that. I actually really enjoy watching the White Sox. They're a fun team to watch play baseball. And you know what's not going to be fun? Watching them not get to do any of that because Tony La Russa is going to be a curmudgeon.
Yeah, I mean, Tim Anderson's drawn heat from commentators.
I think it's going to be a great experiment.
Oh. If you like experiments about like pouring vinegar into baking soda, yeah, it'll be a great experiment.
Well, I understand everything, and I've heard this for since the hiring and stuff. I just think you got to. I mean, well, they already put their lot into this guy, and so we'll see what happens. I'll edge on the side of that this. Stranger things have happened in 2020. Maybe this might one work out. I don't see it. I agree with both of you, but I'm just being a little bit of a devil's advocate to say that, hey, maybe he has a little bit of magic left and maybe he has changed a little bit. I don't believe it, but he's also... I mean, obviously the White Sox thought this is the best guy for it, or maybe he was the only guy there.
Well,
no,
he was
I doubt.
The first
I actually
guy hired right. Like,
I actually don't think that they didn't interview. I don't think that they interviewed anybody else. We didn't get any stories about that. On top of that, if you actually take a look
you
at the,
don't think AJ
there
Hinch
is the one
story.
Okay, so
interviewed?
That's
what I
want to
get to.
Yes.
Okay. So when they sent out the press release with saying, "Hey, we've hired Tony La Russa." You know, they had Tony La Russa's picture and there was Tony La Russa on the graphic. But like, when you take a look at the signature that they overlaid over Tony La Russa's shoulder, it's AJ Hinch's autograph. So somebody in that front office probably got told to do up a graphic because we are hiring AJ Hinch. And then Jerry Reinsdorf stepped in and was like, no, that's not happening. You guys are hiring Tony La Russa instead, which is mind blowing.
And when they went to Photoshop,
super funny. And just
they didn't
switched
take
out
that layer
picture.
Out.
Yeah, just switched out the picture and the text layer. Forgot to switch out the autograph layer, which is super funny. It's super funny. I find it wildly entertaining.
And then Detroit goes and hires AJ Hinch.
Yeah, which I don't really want to get into the whole AJ Hinch thing all that much.
Mind you, we might have to because the Boston might hire Cora back.
I think that's
And then you got both of the guys who were, part of the scandal of, 17 and 18 back in managerial positions again.
Completely not surprised.
I think we discussed at the time that AJ, that, based on the report that AJ Hinch is not at fault.
But he made a half-assed attempt to.
Less liable. He half-assed it. Which
the
is
report
still
of him like taking a bat to the TV.
Well, he took his penalty and his penance, and now he's back in the league. So I mean, I guess that's all fair. And
I think
we
agreed the penalty wasn't harsh enough, though.
No, of course not. I mean,
no, but the penalty should have been to some other folks as well.
Of course, yep.
I mean, it was just a piece of metal, so don't worry about it.
I don't think that the the core of punishment was even a punishment, because all he ended up doing was getting paid out to not coach the terrible Red Sox for a year. And now he gets to, you know, miss out on COVID, and now he gets to come back and coach the Red Sox, who are probably going to spend a little bit more money this year, which is, you know, I don't know. I just don't even think that's a punishment, which is ridiculous to me.
No, you got a break.
Yeah.
During like the best possible time to have a break.
Paid vacation. So stupid.
You're just bitter, Brian. You don't get that.
Bitter about what? Getting a paid break?
Yeah.
Can I cheat at work and get a paid break? Is that an option? Can I not do my job properly? And can I still get paid to do that?
Well, you know what? A lot of people do that. A lot of people do that. I hate to say it. I know you'd find that hard to believe, but some people might do that occasionally. Take a look at what's going on in the States a bit.
Ridiculous. Well, at least they're going to put the right guy in the right office.
Well, we don't know yet. It's TBD. Still, we could be talking about that a month from now. Who knows?
No, I'm pretty sure.
I don't know. It's 2020. Don't be pretty sure about anything yet.
Fair.
Yeah.
Mike, what else are we talking about?
Oh, can I just say one thing about this? Hold on one second. I will say this, because they're going to start rolling out all the awards, you know, for this season. And I believe baseball is kind of, they're kind of doing it the right way, where they're putting it literally on the day of an election or another day where there's no attention to this. I think there's something to be said about some of these awards, because I will say, I'm not giving an asterisk to the Dodgers, but some of these words you could sort of make a case for with the 60-game schedule, and especially the one for defense, which was just all based by stats. There was no, I know Brian would love that, but there was
I actually don't like defensive metrics.
Okay, well, we'll see.
I think defensive metrics are still kind of in their infancy and are not properly done, and are especially bad in small sample sizes. So no, I don't like the fact that they gave out Golden Globes based entirely on defensive metrics. I think it's silly. I don't know what you do, because I don't think the eye test is right either. And like, when you do it solely on eye test.
But don't you think it's a little bit weird?
Like, Derek Jeter shouldn't have won a single gold glove ever in his entire life, and he's got, what, like six? So.
Yeah, sure. Fair enough. But don't you think it's a little weird someone's going to win a Cy Young, and they might only have 10 or 12, 13 starts maybe this year? Like, I get that.
Yeah, but so did everybody, right? So, like, that's a level playing.
No, I get that. It's just a weird – yeah, I guess so. It's just kind of – anyways, I'm not, you know, it is what it is, right? They played a 60-game schedule, and a 60-game schedule, and so be it. But I don't mind that they're not going to be – they haven't been so far highlighted just the way they've rolled these out, but maybe that's done on purpose. I'm not too sure.
Well, certainly bearing it on the day of the election was one interesting choice.
Before
we get off of the Tony La Russa thing, though, I will just mention, so we're recording this Thursday night, and I just pulled up MLB.com. There's this piece by Scott Merkin. Tim Anderson, who won the Silver Slugger at shortstop for the White Sox, quoted in a Thursday evening Zoom call with reporters. So this is about 30 minutes ago as of our taping. Tim Anderson won't tailor his energetic and emphatic bat flipping style. In fact, the American League Silver Slugger award-winning shortstop didn't wait for the full question to provide the answer. Nah, that won't happen, Anderson said with a laugh, continuing his answer after the question's completion. I won't change my style the way I play for Tony. I'll always continue to be me. I always have. I always will be.
Good.
You see what happens, I guess.
Yeah, that's good. That's a good attitude.
Can't wait for him to get benched in the first week.
What are you going
to
do, bench him? He's going to bench him. Right, exactly.
Yeah, who knows?
I'm going to teach him
or he'll take one of the best hitters in the American, one of the best pure contact hitters in the American League, and stick him in the nine slot.
Won the batting crown in 2019, and then Silver Slugger this year. So
gonna stick him in the nine slot just because he showboats a little bit. Tony La Russa is such a clown.
Also, speaking of clowns, the Cleveland team.
I can't wait for this teardown. You want to know why?
Are you hoping that they trade?
I I have been talking with our mutual friend and I guess boss. And well, Jared,
let's not go too far there. he might be Michael's boss, but he's no boss of mine.
who very much seems to believe that the Jays are in the running for Frankie Lindor. Please.
No, come on.
That's what he seems to think.
Come on.
That's what he seems to think.
I don't know. What would they? So what would the trade be? I mean, is it just draft picks and stuff
Well, it'll be prospects. I mean, if you trade for Frankie Lindor, you move Bichette to third, which means you don't need one of Austin Martin or Jordan Groshans, depending on who you like, which one of those guys you think projects to be your future third baseman, right? So you trade one of those guys plus pitching, because Cleveland seems to really like that.
Yeah, so Bob Nightingale tweeting on Thursday that Cleveland strapped for money intend to trade all-star shortstop Francisco Lindor by opening day. Several rival teams have been informed. Lindor earned $17.5 million last season and is projected to earn about $21 million in salary arbitration in his final year before free agency.
Yeah.
So he's going to be traded before 2022? Oh, boy. That's
Probably before that, right?
The, I think the they expectation said they would be that before
2021.
2021's opening day.
No, no, I'm just saying there might not be an opening day.
Funny. Yeah, so
let's say this. Dream big, Brian. If he goes to the Blue Jays, hey, that would be unbelievable.
Well, steal. I've been like, talking about this. My dream scenario for this offseason, trade for Frankie Lindor, sign Marcus Stroman back, sign Trevor Bauer, sign George Springer, sign Brad Hand.
Okay,
that's the
now
other
you're,
guys.
They, now you're getting yeah,
release
the
Brad Hand.
Point of,
they've got money to do it. They have like almost no money on their books. They've got the money to do that. Whether or not they will,
if the
don't know.
Spend a bit. Yeah, that's
they have
that's
said.
A big, yeah.
They have said that they're planning on spending a lot of money. That their finances weren't really affected all that much, and that they're going to be quote unquote very aggressive this offseason. Which, you know, I mean, I guess they've said kind of sort of things like that before, but never that outspoken. So I mean, that's my hope. That's the dream shopping list right there.
I would say if you got two of those, did you name five players with about five you think there?
Yeah, that was five.
Frankie,
if you get two of
Frankie,
the five.
Frankie, Springer, Lindor,
three
Hand,
pitchers,
Bauer. Yeah.
I think you get maybe or three Stroman. Of the five possibly. Hand and Bauer for sure. Maybe even Stroman. I don't know about Springer or Lindor. Like,
well,
I mean, those would be great. Don't get me wrong, Brian. I mean, those would be – I mean, you've got a great team there if you got those five, right? But
that they get Springer, but I think that if they whiff on Springer that they'll probably – we'll probably end up with Michael Brantley.
So Springer is a free agent, right? That's
– Yep.
That's simply signing him –
Putting, all those putting, guys are free agents with the exception of Frankie.
Frankie. Because
right,
Frankie
that's
obviously
money,
still in team
money.
Control. So that's just money.
Yeah, just out and out money. And Frankie's the only one that will require anything else. And if you get him, you really don't need one of those two third base prospects, right? So if that's the case, then you know you can trade one of them plus some of your other pitching goop to really get him, which I mean, if you have a chance to get like one of the best two or three shortstops in baseball, I think you kind of have to do it, right?
Well, geez, take a look at what the Reds or what the Dodgers did, right? They were already loaded up. And if you got a player like that and you're willing to spend the money, you do it. Like, yeah. I don't know why you wouldn't. Isn't it like for the Blue Jays, they got it sort of ahead of schedule this year. And why not take advantage if a team's trying to unload a player because of money? The Dodgers had no problem taking taking the best player in a trade. The Blue Jays should do it in a second. Like I don't care what they're giving up. They're going to get better.
I absolutely agree. I mean, it remains to obviously be seen, and I'm very optimistic and very pie in the sky about it, which is just kind of how I am in general about the Blue Jays, and I understand that I probably shouldn't be, but
well, we should get a Raspad back on, and then he would tamper your spirits a bit.
Yeah, he would just eviscerate me and call me an idiot, which
Well, that's also me. I mean, that's not really. That's just everyone. He usually does that too.
but I mean, I don't know. I expect it to be a very slow and boring offseason outside of a couple teams. I think the Jays are going to splash some money around. We'll see about the Yankees. I expect the Red Sox, because they have reset their tax, to splash money around. And I think the Dodgers will probably do that as well.
Well, I think the biggest Yankees one is going to be J.J. LeMahieu, obviously winning the Silver Slugger and being kind of one of the most popular Yankees this season.
God, he's one of the most pop. I think he's the most popular Yankee since DJ.
Interestingly enough,
look at the adoration that the Yankee fans have for LeMahieu. They love him.
So that's who they're going to back the truck up.
Well, he's a good player. That's why.
He's incredible. I honest to goodness did not see this coming when he left. Colorado. I mean, I thought he was a good player.
I don't think anyone did.
People kind of thought those numbers were, you know, Coors inflated.
Well, I mean, he was only an above average hitter one season, the season that he won the batting title out there. And the rest of the time, he was a below average hitter, which is crazy considering he was out in Coors. I mean, he was a very above average glove, and an average-ish hitter. I didn't expect him to turn into one of the best hitters in the American League while still being an incredible defensive multi-positional player, which is wild. I didn't expect to see this at all. I bet he's so good. And if the Yankees don't back a Brinks truck up for him, I don't know what they're really doing. No clue.
They're going to. They're the Yankees.
Best in the division.
They're the Yankees. They'll back up the truck. I mean, they're going to pay Stanton. Stanton didn't, he kept his player option. Of course he would.
Oh, my God. I had a funny interaction with my old man about that. He sent me a text with the news article saying, you know, Stanton opts in. And I laughed and was like, yeah, we'll enjoy your 200 at-bats a year out of him. And he sent me a text back saying, oh, I thought it said opted out. Yeah, that's a problem. And it just made me laugh.
Well, of course he's going to opt in. I mean, it's an insane contract, right? I mean, he loves it. He plays half a season and gets full pay for it.
Yep, exactly.
So apart from Anthony Castrovince from MLB.com was talking about Toronto as a potential suitor for Lindor. But John Heyman talking about the Mets as a potential landing spot because new owner Steve Cohen might be looking to make a splash.
Splash money. Yeah.
He's intent, well,
they got
I
new
think,
ownership.
On, yeah, and then obviously kind of trying to make his own mark on kind of attracting fans to the Mets side of things in New York, but B kind of like, you know,
I like
every new owner kind of wants to do something like that.
I like them for Real Muto.
Yeah, he's got a lot of money.
Yeah, I like them for Real Muto. It'll be interesting to see. I mean, because their outfield is pretty sorted, right? And the spots I guess that they need are bullpen, catcher, and maybe shortstop, depending on how you feel about what they've got going on right now. But yeah, they're going to splash some quiche. There's going to be some cheddar spread.
Yeah, yeah, no, that certainly seems like a conceivable landing spot. And I mean, as I said, you know, the Tony La Russa move and then the Cleveland moves certainly reassure me as a fan of a competing team. And Detroit doesn't exactly look like they're. I mean, AJ Hinch is a signing, but it's not like that team on the field.
Everything's looking up for the Twins next year.
Donaldson healthy again.
One thing I could easily see if they don't get Frankie, one team I could easily see the move I could see the Mets making would be going out and getting Marcus Semien. That's one that I kind of like them for.
Yeah, because you don't want them to get Lindor.
I would rather them not get Lindor, but you know, I guess we'll see.
Or they wait until 2021, 2022, when like five shortstops become free agents.
Yeah, I mean, this isn't a bad class for shortstops, right? It's not great. It's not like there's a huge amount of them, but the ones that are there aren't bad. You've got you've got Semien, who I think we all think is a pretty good ball player. You've got Andrelton Simmons, who I think we all think is a pretty good ball player. And there's that Korean player Hyung-Soo Kim, I think, who's supposed to be coming over this year and is widely regarded as a pretty good shortstop.
Yeah, the next year though, it's Javi Baez, Carlos Correa, Corey Seager, Trevor Story, and Frank Lindor.
Whoa. Wow. That's loaded.
Yeah, that's considered possibly the best shortstop class ever in terms of available for guys to sign. So, you know, I mean, but obviously Cleveland, if they're going to extract any value from a Francisco Lindor trade, it's going to be this,
be doing this, year,
this year
before the start of the season.
Got to trade him now.
Especially if they have no intention of
could be the Blue Jays.
Re-signing. Come on, Blue Jays. Come on, baby. That would drive Jerry nuts.
Maybe we'll end it on that.
That would be great. I'd love to hear that.
please give me this.
Well, on a hopeful wish, we'll maybe wrap it up there and hand things over. We'll be back. I guess this is ostensibly the start of the hot stove season. Once the awards, all the hardware is handed out, that's when you kind of start to hear more of the legitimate rumors and signings. So I guess we'll have the last of the awards to talk about next week and start some of those rumors, I guess.
Hot stove, baby. Jiffy hot pop, stove. Let's go.
Get out your matches. Okay, folks, stick around and don't forget to tune in at 1 p.m. to the pity party here on 101.5 UMFM.
Strike three, you're out.